Hey everyone, it's Joel, and this is another Texas Rangers podcast. Finally found a name for it. Woo! So I'm talking at 1 in the morning, like I told you I would, immediately after the Seattle game. It was a pretty fun game. Basically, it was what I expected. You know, I expected a high-scoring game from either the Rangers or Seattle, based off the track record of Felix Hernandez against the Rangers, and also because it's Austin Bibben Dirks, who, you know, he's not gonna go out there and pitch and, you know, shut things down. So that was awesome. You know, it was cool that the game was really what I expected. So first thing I wanted to talk about was the solo home run in the first inning off of Felix Hernandez by 2, his ninth of the year. That was pretty good. You know, it's one of the, definitely didn't exactly see 2 hitting a home run today, but at the same time, he was he had 59 career at-bats against Felix Hernandez and like 17 hits and 17 strikeouts. I guess I just wasn't expecting the power, you know. If you would have told me he would have hit a single, yeah, I would have definitely been like, that sounds like 2. But his ninth of the year, that's great, you know. It's always good to put the Rangers on the board. And then I felt after that homer, felt like that's the Felix Hernandez we're gonna get today. We're gonna get the one who's gonna give up four or five runs, and that's what I thought. And for the most part, that's kind of what happened, pretty much. The funny thing is, as soon as the game started, the bottom of the first, as soon as it started for the bottom of the first, the Rangers 1-0 lead. Frustrating. The 1-0 lead lasted 3 batters into the first inning. That is frustrating. Austin Bibber's dirt didn't record an out until after Seattle had taken a 2-1 lead. And then at some point, that lead became a 3-1 lead. And it was just frustrating because I didn't expect him to shut it. Austin Bibber Dirks to shut down Seattle, but I didn't expect the 1-0 lead to last 3 batters into the game. You know, a stat of the day, which I found was somewhat funny, and really shows you how bad this season has gone. It's the Texas Rangers have an MLB leading 41 hit by pitches. Our pitchers do not have good command, and it is really showing. You don't just hit 41 batters in 53 games. That's almost a batter a game. You know, what is it? The 2011 World Series with the Cardinals. Basically, kept coming back and forth. We kept giving them life because we kept walking them. You know, when you give up free passes, such as walks, hit by pitches, it really shows, you know. But 41 hit by pitches, I've never been into, hey, you know, coach, we should, it's the coach's fault, this and that, blame it on the coach. I've never really been like that. But in this case, I'm somewhat wondering what exactly is going on. Because I get it if you are a power pitcher, you throw heat and you'll miss, you know, you trade what command for power. I get that. But our pitchers, the Rangers pitchers, do not strike out batters. So I don't know exactly where the trade-off is at. It's just a bunch of mediocre, decent pitchers. You know, average pitchers. Just having command problems. And I have a problem with that, especially when you're not a power pitcher. You know, like, who is it? Jose Leclerc. He's a power pitcher, but he throws heat and he trades it in for command. He walks a lot, but he also Ks. So that's something to look at. You know, I don't know what exactly is being taught, because you know I've never been a pitcher. I was a hitter in high school, but I've never been a pitcher, and I think that whoever is the pitcher. I don't remember the pitching coach. I don't know if it's Ion Posey, but whatever the approach is towards the pitching, maybe it needs to, something else needs to happen, because it's not working so far. Not when you have 41 hit by pitches in 53 games. A really big thing for Austin Bibring-Dirks in their first inning, he was struggling to throw strikes. It was ball after ball after ball after ball. And my only problem with that is he's not Matt Harrison in his prime. You know, when Matt Harrison would pitch, he can come back from a 3-1 count to get you to ground out, to get you to pop up, fly out. You know, that was the type of pitcher Matt Harrison was. You know, I think, what is it? And then he pitched against Atlanta in 2011, and he basically was throwing 3-1 counts to a lot of batters. You know, he was getting behind the count a lot. But one of his things was he was being a finesse pitcher. And he was getting ground outs. So, there, Austin Bibring-Dirks. You know, I don't know much to say about a 34, 35, 36-year-old in the big leagues. You know, his second year. And he's having command issues. I talked about Big Dirks earlier and how I'd rather have a prospect up here. You know, what is it, Ariel Huardo? I'd rather have him than Dirks. I'm not a big fan of Dirks, especially when you come out and struggle. And to his credit, the home plate umpire was missing a lot of costs on balls and strikes. But a lot of the pitches that were thrown by Dirks were not exactly strikes. So he was just having command issues. You know, that goes back to the pitching coaching stuff, you know, like I talked about earlier. It's frustrating, you know. But, you know, then we had a Joey Gallo. So, for those of you who did listen, Joey Gallo coming into the game against Felix was 13 for 2 lifetime. And those two hits were not home runs. They were doubles. And I brought this up. And guess what he did today? His first at bat, beating the shift. He hit a double of a Felix Hernandez on a ball that would have been ball 4. So, you know, like I said, Gallo, when he swings for the fences. I'm not a fan of it, especially when it's ball 4. But, hey, this is that Ruben Odor situation I brought up earlier today against about the Seattle home run. This one is, I get that he hit a double and he was able to score later on in the inning to make it 3-2. But that pitch was for a ball. And it would have been ball 4 on a full count. So I do have a problem with it. You know, especially when Gallo strikes out as much as he does. I cannot forgive that. You know, I would rather have Gallo take a walk instead of hitting his 9th double of the year. But this is my opinion. I've never been a fan of the aggressive swinging, the striking outs. I am a fan of, you know, swinging when you have to, swinging when you have a good pitch. You know, not taking pitches. I'm a fan of that. You know, I don't like the swinging at every pitch you see, or swinging at pitches that are way outside. You know, clearly balls. You know, like Josh Hamilton used to do. It's no matter what, we all knew it. You know, double ball, off speed pitch outside. In a way, and he was going to swing at it. He just was not going to hold back. And so he struck out every time. You know? But in this case, it worked out. And the very next batter was Rougned Odor. And this dude, Odor, battled the first pitch. It was okay. That's okay. I mean, he's being a bit aggressive swinging at that first pitch. But he's able to foul it off. Then the second pitch, it was on the, I believe it was a corner pitch to him inside, and it was a strike. And then, so it's 2-0. It's 0-2 on Odor. And then the third pitch comes, and he swings and misses. You know, high fastball. And it bothered me, you know. This is Odor, you know. He reminds me of Mike Napoli, just swinging, you know. Swinging at a high pitch, and it was just frustrating. I know I keep using that word, but it's kind of what this team is, frustrating. Odor just, you know, went out swinging. And then we get to the big sixth inning. Probably the most confusing inning we've seen. What is it? Rangers score 2 runs on 2 separate wild pitches. That was a big breaker for us. You know, that made it, what, 5-4 at that moment? It was a wild inning. And then we have Carlos Perez get hit by a pitch, followed up with Delino DeShields, who supposedly was hit by a pitch. However, Delino did not react to that call. He obviously didn't get hit. But the home plate umpire thought he did get hit. And so he got moved to first base. But Seattle challenged. And, you know, it was a good challenge because it was a dumb call. Delino did not get hit. And so Delino comes back to bat, and then, just like in the Avengers, when Thanos snaps his fingers, Delino was gone. He struck out swinging on a terrible pitch. It was a terrible at bat. You know, I talked about Delino. You know, he was hitting, what, 240, 230 for the year, and over his last 7 games, 250, something like that, and that's not the way he's been hitting. I mean, that's the way he's been hitting, like, his last 10-7 games. However, over his last 73 at-bats, he's had 11 hits. He's batting 151. So, he's clearly struggling. At this point, I mean, if you threw out Ryan Rua, if you threw out the line of the shields, if you throw out Carlos Perez, they're not doing anything. They're all the same batter, basically. You know, I know there's a lot of hate for Ryan Rua, but the shields is not hitting well at all. You know, not when you're 11 for 70, 73, you're, you know, it's bad. And it's a really prolonged slump for the shields. I did talk about that earlier too, how he was struggling And I feel like the Shields, he needs some support. He needs something. Something's going wrong for him. When it's 73 at bats and 11 hits, there's something going on. You know, it's not as bad as the Sean Tolleson, you know, collapse back in, what, 2016? But it's just really bad. The Shields is a playmaker for this ball club. And the Shields is important to this team, this roster. You know, I forget the stats. I will look that up. But the line of the Shields, when the line of the Shields plays, the Rangers win more games than without him. I know that. I do forget the game or how many exactly it was. It doesn't matter. Just Rangers add an extra run, basically, when the Shields is playing. They have more wins. He's important to this team. However, he's not doing anything at the moment. I'm hoping this doesn't last the whole year, because we've seen this from the Shields before. You know, what is it, 2016, after his rookie campaign in 2015, which he did a decent job. You know, he batted like 262, 264. And then in his sophomore year, he was batting 230, 220, something like that. And basically, it cost him a spot on the left field. And I don't see that happening to him now. The Shields is really important to this ball club. But at the same time, he's got to get out of this, you know. He's not going to be an all-star player type, you know, impact. But he's better than Ryan Rua, and he's important to this ball club. So as soon as he gets out of that slump, Rangers might be okay, you know. So today the Rangers left 23 batters on base. I want to say the Rangers are one of the worst teams statistically, and when it comes to batting with runners in scoring position. I'll get the stats on that whenever I do the Nets podcast, but you know, leaving 23 runners on base, I mean, it happens every game, you know. There's always going to be a lot of, you're always going to leave, you know, batters on base. But when you leave 23, it's kind of a problem. It's, you know, especially when you have the bases loaded and you don't score anything. You know, one thing about the Rangers, is that they are statistically the worst team this season when it comes to the bases loaded. It's, you know, just hit a fly ball out, just do something. No, most of the time it's a strikeout or a ground out, you know. Look at Nomar Mazar. He's definitely not batting really well with the bases loaded. And, you know, they say good hitting is contagious. And right now, the only bright spot in this lineup is Ronald Guzman, who had a 4-for-4 game today. And I think 3 RBIs. If I had to pick an MVP of the game, it would be Ronald Guzman. You know, he has been lighting it up lately. And it's, at first I was, you know, how do I say this? At first, when it came to Ronald Guzman, I was iffy on him. He wasn't exactly high average, like 250-ish, like I want. He was batting like Mendoza line, but home run for four straight games. Okay, nice of you to hit a home run, but I want the average up. Well, today he hit four hits, so if he definitely seems to be improving. Same with thing with Nomar Mazar. I'll admit, I was coming into the season, I did not have high hopes for the line of the Shields. Nomar Mazar, Ronald Guzman, Rougned Odor, and this rotation. But hey, Nomar Mazar, for the most part, has been pretty decent. You know, he's when he gets hot, he's hot. When you leave the bases loaded, well, don't expect much out of it. Mariners left 19 batters on base. Like I said earlier, you're always going to leave batters on base. It's just when you have 20-something, you would expect to score more than a lot. So, that's all I'm saying. The Rangers this season, I think, definitely are in the top five. Maybe they might even actually be the worst team when it comes to strikeouts. Who has struck out the most? The Texas Rangers. They struck out 12 times today in 9 innings against a washed up Felix Hernandez. A good, decent ball pen. I'll give credit where credit's due. The Seattle Mariners have a pretty decent bullpen. I think they have 16 comeback wins this season. I think they either have 24 wins or 30 something wins when leading after seven. Seattle's a pretty good team this season. And, when you have a bunch of aggressive batters with really wide stances, you're going to strike out a lot, and that's what happened, 12. So there's that. The Texas Rangers pitching staff, this is not a, like I said earlier, this is not a strikeout team in terms of pitching. I don't see anybody in this team really having more than 170 Ks this season. And that one who would be probably most likely is Cole Hamels. There's not much going on for this team. But they struck out 9 Seattle Mariners. So take that how you want it. It's somewhat decent, It's 9 Ks out of 27 outs, about a third. This isn't a team that strikes out. It's hasn't been the Rangers, at all. And it's sad to say, especially when you're trying to compete, you have to be a strikeout team. That's the biggest, that's one reason why teams, bullpens, starting pitchers, do so well in the postseason is because of strikeouts. But this team doesn't strike out at all. So I feel like the next time I do this podcast, I will come back with the pressing statistics on the Texas Rangers and how this season is just, another mediocre year. I'll bring statistics up on other teams as well to show the emphasis on where the Rangers need to improve. And for JD, for those who don't know, John Daniels, Rangers GM, he recently talked about when it comes to the draft, Rangers are focusing on pitching prospects, which is great. Fantastic. If there's one thing the Rangers need, it's pitching. And I'm all for it. Let's do it. Pitching stuff. Pitching prospects are what John Daniels is going to be looking at. One thing I want to talk about right now, going back towards the game, is Juan Chiguera. He's the, I want to say shortstop, second base, man, for Seattle. He got traded to Seattle from Arizona Diamondbacks. He has been great since becoming a Seattle Mariner. I am a big fan of Chiguera. He, today, went 3-for-5 with a double on the RBI. He scored that game tying run in the 8th inning. And Alex Claudio have to come. The dude is great. You know. In terms of that, that play that ground out by Ben Gamble. And that scored Chiguera to tie the game up. There was not much the Rangers could do in that situation. But get the out at first. It was a good game, like I said. And Juan Chiguera, Gene Chiguera, he's a great baseball player. He's a great addition to Seattle Mariners. He's great. You know, he's got a lot of contact in the swing, but he also has that power. You know, maybe 15, 20 home runs a year, and he's got great speed. He can play. He's great. I'm looking forward to him, seeing him at the Rangers ballpark in Arlington whenever Seattle comes back. Joey Gallo, I know I talked about him earlier, but I wanted to bring this up, how he had a good game. He had that one double. He went 1-for-3. I think with 2 Ks, that one hit was a double. And then he had 2 walks. So he did walk twice, and he scored 3 runs. Anytime you score runs, you're having a fine game. He scored 3. So Joey Gallo stepping up when it mattered. Rugged the door. I talked about him struggling, but this time I'm trying to bring up a positive. In the top of the ninth, off of Edwin Diaz, he hit the bases loaded, clearing double. You know, some nearly went out, but, you know, ended up being a double. Odor went 1-for-5 in the game. Basically what he's been doing the entire season. If he has a hit, just have that one hit. You know, he's hitting, I want to say below 200 still, but he had a big hit and it was a double. He had 3 RBIs. The game winning 3 RBIs was a good game for him. It was a great game. I won't say great. It was a good at bat he had. He didn't have a great game. This earlier on the first episode of the pregame podcast, I talked about Profar and clutch situations. I feel like I was right about a lot that was going to happen in this game, except for Jerison Profar. Because I basically was saying he's going to be great. He's, or at least great in clutch situations when the Rangers need a hit at most. He grounded into a double play to end the top of the 6th. Bases loaded. Rangers were leading 5-4. Maybe it was the fact that the Rangers were already leading that he didn't get a hit. I don't know. But you know, Rangers were bases loaded and he grounded into a double play. So, there's that. Overall, it was a decent game. Entertaining, yes. It was everything I expected. Yeah. It was a fun game. I don't know who the pitching matchup is tomorrow. Let me look that up real quick on the official MLB at-bat app. Okay, so tomorrow is Matt Moore, who is 1-5 with a 7.99 ERA. Basically an ERA at 8 for Matt Moore, our starting pitcher tomorrow, the Texas Rangers, against the Seattle Mariners ace, James Paxton, who was 4-1 with a 3.10 ERA, who threw a no-hitter already this season. Is anybody expecting a win out of tomorrow's game? I mean, seriously? Against James Paxton versus Matt Moore? No. It's Matt Moore. Matt Moore does not deserve to be starting tomorrow. Based on how this season has gone for him, and based off of what he did last year in a pitcher-friendly ballpark with the San Francisco Giants. I get that he was a Cy Young candidate when he first came up, and that he was, you know, gonna be the next big thing. But the time has passed. Tommy John surgeries, injuries. He's definitely not gonna work out in a hitter-friendly ballpark in like Arlington. So we can already count the L for tomorrow. Just give it up for Seattle and James Paxton. Will I be watching that game? Probably not. I'll tell you what. I'll see how the first couple innings go. And if it's somewhat bearable, maybe I'll watch the whole thing. If it is exactly how I think it's going to go, first inning, second inning, third inning, 6 runs, 7 runs, then I'm out. But there's a... If you think we're winning tomorrow against Seattle's ace, you're joking. You have to be doing a bit, because we're not winning tomorrow. There's no way. All right. Well, I guess this does it for today on the second official episode of another Texas Rangers podcast. Thank you for listening, and like always, commenting on SoundCloud, giving feedback, reviewing on iTunes, Google Play. It's always a good thing. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you back the next time I do a podcast. If you have any legit critiques, comments on how I should run this, on how I should, if I should change anything, please let me know, because in all honesty, I take notes during the game, and then I just talk about them and somewhat wing it. I'm not winging it like I did before. I feel more prepared now, but, you know, if you have any critiques, let me know. And thank you for listening. This has been another Texas Ranger podcast. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.